She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
Hi, we have Latham Thomas on the line from Mama Glow, joining my podcast today at Our Mirror's Reflections. Latham, how are you?
Hey, babe. Good to see you. Good to be here with you digitally.
Girl, how are you doing and how are you coping with all the moms today that's probably in hysteria having a baby with this crisis going on? How are you dealing with all this?
Well, we're just doing our best to make sure folks have adequate information and the most up-to-date information regarding COVID-19 and pregnancy. You know, it's really challenging for people who are delivering like any day now. We had somebody who delivered actually last night and was able to have her partner in the room with her. She had a really beautiful, swift birth. And so, you know, we feel good about that. But thankfully, you know, the governor of New York, Governor Cuomo, made a decision to allow all partner support in all state and public and private hospitals. He put an executive order in place. So all hospitals are going to have to follow that order and thankfully allow people to have someone with them. You know, it's really challenging to go through anything alone, but particularly birth. And so I'm just really thankful that he made that decision and that we can now really focus on how we anchor and build the future. How do we create something that's sustainable for women and care providers like doulas for the future? Because doulas have been pushed out of the birth equation because of COVID-19 for safety reasons. But we do know that the presence of doula support is correlated with lower C-section rates, with better maternal satisfaction, with higher breastfeeding rates, and lower interventions. And so there is clinical support showing that doula support is critical. The World Health Organization also recommends that mothers have birth support, you know, to get through the journey. So even in light of this crisis. So we do want to make sure that as we plan for the future, that we have protections in place for people's care support and that they don't end up, you know, delivering alone, even when this is over, that we put something in place to protect their care providers that are non-clinical as well. So we're just trying to navigate the whole thing and figure out, you know, the balance between safety and experience, right? We want people to have a positive, affirmative, and empowering experience. We also want them to have a safe one, and we want to protect the nurses and the doctors and those who are on the front lines trying to make sure everyone's safe, that they also are protected, right? and we also have to make sure that people have protective gear. And right now, we have a shortage of personal protective equipment. And so now there's people who, I mean, even nurses who don't even have what they need. You know, there's not enough of a supply. So we have to make sure everyone's protected. So we need folks to give more. When we think about donations, folks to give, organizations to give, and particularly some of these companies who have access to equipment to give so our hospitals can sustain themselves and our care providers are safe.
Absolutely. I want to ask you, what would you say to moms right now that have not delivered yet, but in the next month or so will be having their babies? And right now they are worried about maybe catching COVID-19 or their child getting sick. What would you say?
You know, best thing to do is follow the recommendations that have been outlined by the CDC and the World Health Organization. A lot of what's been shared has been around social distancing, which is maintaining a distance of 6 feet between people to minimize risk of infection. What we understand about the virus is that it travels through the air, but it travels, you know, when you cough or sneeze, right, that there's particles that are inhaled and then it goes into your body that way. And so it also sits on surfaces, too. So you can touch a surface and then like touch your face. Right. So it's really important to like constantly wash your hands, which we've learned, you know, more about. It seems like people are just now learning that washing your hands is important, but now they really understand it in the context of a virus like this. So washing your hands, social distancing, you know, eating antiviral foods is really helpful too. You know, the coconut and garlic and things like that can be very helpful in boosting your immune system. You know, keeping a lower stress, you know, stress management is really important. Trying to minimize stress, even though it's a super stressful time. So it's hard to say to somebody, don't stress out, but it's very stressful times in general. Mm-hmm. But if you can minimize stress with stress management techniques like deep breathing and prayer and movement and dance and yoga, these are all really great ways to help minimize stress. And having a self-care practice will be very helpful too. You know, having the support that you need, because a lot of people are home alone, you know, they're home maybe as single parents, they're home, you know, maybe, you know, just with their partner. And it's challenging. So making sure that you have contact with people on a regular basis, you can use things like Zoom to connect with like family members. And they have a lot of free plans that allow you to connect with, you know, a handful of people so that you can make sure that you're touching base with folks that you love and that love you. You know, having a care provider who you can contact and be in communication with about what's going on with you, your health, and tracking your symptoms if you feel symptomatic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really important also if you feel symptomatic to make sure you get care immediately.
Right.
Not going directly into the emergency room, but making sure that you're in contact with your doctor who can sort of troubleshoot with you and make sure that you're indeed experiencing symptoms. And then at that point, you would, you know, head over to the hospital if your symptoms become unmanageable. When they're unmanageable, that's when you want to be in a situation where you have access to not only medicine, but a ventilator. You know, they don't want people to come just because they feel like they have a cold. But if you have difficulty breathing, like real difficulty breathing, you should be in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is a situation that has to constantly be monitored. But the best thing to do is just stay inside. You know, I don't know why it's so hard for people to follow that rule, but just stay in the house. Like, really don't go out unless you have to. And if you do go out, come back in, wash yourself, shower, throw your clothes in the wash, you know, and make sure that you keep your home as clean and as sterile as possible from pathogens, right? So obviously your own germs are going to be around your house, but you don't want to introduce, you know, potentially, you know, germs like COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So us being moms, how are you dealing with being a mom, a teacher? You're a teacher anyway, but a full-time teacher now going forward as schools are closed. I have two children at home, and I find myself feeling a little bit overwhelmed with everything. How are you dealing with that?
Well, my son is on spring break and headed back to school this week, and the school will be all online. You know, I don't know what it's going to be like because he hasn't started back, but, right. You know, his school does have really great digital infrastructure, so he does a lot of assignments online already. He has, you know, they have the technology in place anyway, so I feel like it's going to be a smooth transition for him. Right. But I do think that the idea of the social element of being with friends and, you know, being in a school community, that's going to feel completely different. And I think that the isolation for kids is a problem, you know, when they're dealing with this constantly, right? Like, I know for my son, you know, I never let him have video games in the house. And so for the first time, he's 16, I got a PlayStation for him so that he could just have a way to connect with his friends and do video gaming. And he was so thankful because he was at a point where he was like, okay, I've read all the books. Like, what else do I need to do?
That's so, meeting halfway, right?
So yeah, you have to help them
halfway.
Yeah. So I did do that. And, you know, we got more production equipment for his music because he has a music studio at his dad's house. So I bought a couple things that he could, you know, use here to produce his album that he's working on. So, I mean, I'm trying to make sure he has what he needs so he doesn't have to feel like he needs to go outside, because what they don't want is kids going back and forth, right? So this is one of the things that's challenging, too, if you're in a household where, you know, where there's co-parenting. Right. You know, or a divorce, you know, where you have kids, it's like they got to be in one place. They cannot be going between two houses.
That's
and
right.
I think that, you know, folks are very, you know, challenged in like, well, where did the kids go and who do they stay with? And we can't make this an issue of, you know, a parent's egos. It has to be about the safety of the children and everybody involved. And, you know, my kid's going to be safer if he's home than if he's in transit trying to get, you know, stay on the schedule of going back and forth between my house and his father's house. And
right.
So, you know, we've all kind of come to a point of sacrifice around, like, you know, what we will have to just, you know, adjust to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's important right now. Like, you know, everybody has to do their part. And so I think, you know, when it comes to the schooling, I'll just figure it out when it starts to happen. One good thing is that he's at the age where, you know, he understands all the work that he's doing. He's not like, you know, he's not having any challenges around like the math, and because of the math that they're doing is like from the future. I could not help with that. But I definitely help him with like his essays, like I'll proofread, and we'll talk about like his English or history essays in particular, which
right.
he's really a skilled writer. And he's very, he became really into English in when he was a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a junior and he's really into this English class. And he's really into his history. Like he's a great, great, I would say essay writer. And really strong in literature mm-hmm. and history. So that's the area that I feel like, you know, it's a lot of writing and reading. So he'll just, you know, continue in that way. But I think the biggest element that's going to be challenging for him mm-hmm. is the social element of going to class, sitting in class, being with other students. I think he thrives in community. So this will be right. challenging for him. And he even said to me, like, you know, I would rather have not had any breaks, like no spring break, no nothing, and just gone straight to school throughout the entire year with no break than to be in the house.
Wow.
And I think like that says that, you know, he does need and thrive in the community element. So I really hope that there's a way to create some sort of semblance of community through their online education platform. But I don't even know what it's going to be like yet.
Well, I really think, don't you think this is a time that he's definitely learning adversity and how to maneuver when things is thrown your way that you didn't expect, right?
I mean, I would hardly call this adversity. I think that for these kids, you know, it's like, I think for them, you know, staying in the house. I mean, there's other people, like, if we think about our grandparents at these ages, like, that were being asked to go to war, you know, right. or being, you know, the things that they had to contend with, it was so much more intense. I do think this is intense for this time. And I think it's a different type of intensity for the kids. Yeah. I do think, though, that, you know, there is something to be said for, you know, community and connectivity. And yes, it is challenging. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say that, you know, that I would challenge all children to put into perspective this idea of being home, mm-hmm. and how thankful they should be for having a home to be in and having, you know, parents and or supporters or people who love them that are putting food on the table and that are making sure that they're safe and, you know, reframing it from like, oh, I have to be at home to like, you know, I get to be safe in my house with my family, you know, like that's a different way to think about it. And we've been challenging ourselves to be in that space with it, you know, and just know like that there's fresh air is accessible, you know, we just can't like freaking go and do what we want to do normally, but it is a sacrifice that we make for not only ourselves, but for the community at large. And I think that we need to start teaching that because I feel like we grew up in a different generation where there was more of a sense of connectivity with the community and what you did that affected the community. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that same kind of, I mean, I think that as a whole, there's not that consciousness, right? The consciousness is very like, you know, I'm going to get mine versus like, let's all come up together. And so I think the kids are learning that a little bit, right? Like what it means to come up together, support each other, work together. And that I think is going to be really important, you know, mm-hmm. for them to get through this moment to like really realize like, yes, we're all connected. Yes, everybody's health is important. Yes, you know, this is a challenge, you know, to get through like hearing the news cycle and all the information that's coming down. But to know that like you're safe at home and you have people who love you, like that is a lot to be thankful for. To have your health is something to be thankful for because we can't all count ourselves as blessed with good health. Like not everybody has it and not every child even has it. And so I think for those who are able-bodied and who are safe and, you know, I'm challenging my son, especially to be really thinking about like, you know, the blessing of a family and being able to spend time together because I love this time I'm spending with my son. Mm-hmm. I just love that I know where he is 100% of the time because at this age, you know, when they go out and, you know, as boys and, you know, as black boys in the world, mm-hmm. You're always nervous when they're out, you know? Yeah. And so for them to be home, it's like, oh yes, he's right downstairs. You know what I mean? It just makes me feel so good. So there's one aspect that I really love about this time is that I know where he is. I feel comfortable. I sleep more comfortably knowing that he's safe, you know? And so, so I'm grateful for that. But I do think that this is a time that does challenge us emotionally and mental health wise, because yeah, like, you know, we're designed to like move around and be outside and you know, let the sun hit our bodies. And it's hard to do something that when you're told not to, right? So like if we were not put under mandate and somebody just said you could take 2 weeks off and just chill at home, like you would just do it. You would
be at home,
be in the house, you'd be sleeping in, you'd be doing whatever you want. You might go out, but maybe there'd be days that you never would go out.
Yeah,
and
but now, psychologically,
it feels like a trap.
Right. When we're told that we cannot do something, something switches off in our mind that we want to do the opposite, right?
Right.
But that's human nature. That's for an adult. That's for a child, right?
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of kids right now that I do want to say that do not have what your child or what my children have, right? They're not in a home where they have that mental getaway. They're not in a home where things are stable. There's a lot of children out there that's right now they're in a home with chaos.
Or in the street.
Or they're in the street. And for those kids, I think they need a getaway. mm-hmm. right? Because their getaway is school. And now that that has been ripped away from them, you know, what do they do? Those are the kids that I actually have a huge concern for, because they're at home with their abusers, whether mm-hmm. it's emotionally, whether it's physically. They're home 8 hours a day compared to being at school is a complete different scenario for them. So how are they going to get their work done, their studies done, if they're in chaos?
Well, I think even in addition to that, these kids that are vulnerable mm-hmm. are not necessarily getting the meals that they need, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, the school provides not only the safety net of being in a place where you're not in contact with the folks who might be not safe to be around, right. but also of a good meal, you know, or at least just a meal in general.
Right.
Obviously, education, and then sometimes access to teachers who care about you and a community of friends. Right. Yeah. And then a lot of kids are, you know, homeless in New York City. And so, you know, or living in temporary housing or in sort of limbo with their housing. So you have kids who now don't have the, like you said, the continuity of school for meals, and they don't have it also for comfort or just like, you know, routine. Right. And then the other piece is that, you know, we don't have a New York City school system that is built for online, you know, like they don't have an online component set up, you know, they don't have infrastructure set up. And so all these kids are going to be behind in their studies because they don't have, their teachers don't have the tools they need. Mm-hmm. I mean, I heard somebody who told me that one of her kids is in a private school and one of her kids is in public. Right. And her child that's in public, she said he literally had 2 hours of work and he was done by 10 a.m., right?
Right.
And she said her child that's in private had a teacher who set up the Zoom, and they had all these studies and stuff. And so she said to him, hey, can you set up a class for like my fourth grader? And so he set that up. Mm-hmm. And then a whole bunch of moms were like, hey, can you do another class? So this teacher is now making money $10 a head for each kid that he's teaching and setting up curriculum and classrooms. Now, their teachers from their public schools should be making that money. Their mm-hmm. teachers from their public schools should be having those resources, but like they don't have it. So this guy who was able to set this stuff up so easily and basically meet the needs of these public school children, okay, right. is now going to make this extra pocket money because he has the tool, or he's thinking outside the box. And I think that, you know, we need to give our teachers access to tools. You know, Zoom is free for public schools, so people should be using that. I mean, they, you know, I just would like to see how this crisis changes, really, how we envision the future also with education. You know, like everything we have to question now, every single system that we have in the U.S., because we are looking so raggedy right now. Like everyone's like, you know, they want to come to the U.S. Mm-hmm. You don't need to come here. Like, we don't got no infrastructure. Look at the infrastructure. It's falling the F apart, right? So we need to make sure that that in light of all this, that we take note and that we really challenge our systems to create new ones. Because, no kid should be trying to figure out where they're going to get their meal. And people should not feel like they have to be, you know, sheltering in place with their abusers, you know? And we don't have a way to make it safer for people. We don't have to make it safe for homeless people. We don't have a way to protect them or make sure that they have access to testing. Or, I mean, this is really just like so much of a problem when you look at every single aspect, right? And so when I hear the kids that have like, you know, a safe place to be, you know, kind of get like, oh, it's so uncomfortable. It's like, dude, it's not. This is
That's
not an adverse moment for you.
Lot worse. That's right.
A lot worse. Exactly.
So this is where, when I think about all this, I want to touch on a little bit about the couples, people who are married, people who are with their boyfriend, their girlfriends, their, you know, their fiancés or what have you. I mean, that in itself is challenging, right? Because we're not used to being at home all day with our mates. Right. And so I find there's a lot of couples that's either going to renew their wedding vows, or there's going to be a lot of couples that's going to get divorced. Right. I mean, let's talk about that a little bit, Latham. What are you doing to kind of keep, you know, things in order, balance of separation and then balance of spending time together?
I think that like everybody should have some time alone. I think alone time is really important. So however you can make that look, right. I mean, some people are in, you know, 400 square feet together, right? So it's like, it's hard to get away from someone when there's nowhere to go.
Right.
But I do think that like having access to things that like kind of bring you joy. So whether that's like doing a fitness class online or going on to like D-Nice's like live Instagram
love
dance party
is
or
live.
You know, things like that, right? Mm-hmm. Like whatever it is that you can do to have like your own time, you know, but also having time together, like having decided moments of joy and of connection right. together. I've heard of couples that are doing like date nights where they dress up like they're going out mm-hmm. and then they order, you know, food in and set it up like they're going to a restaurant and they sit together and have like, you know, a meal, but they'll be doing like their work separately during the day or, you know, but they make this moment to kind of create some, you know, quarantine, you know, love affair together or whatever. I've heard of people where, you know, they are, you know, trying to create some moments, of, you know, personal space where, you know, they might do a workout together in the morning and then do their work, you know, in tandem and then have a separate time where like maybe this person watches their shows or this person goes and does this or, you know, like it's just like finding ways where you can kind of create some space, you know, is really important, but also having stuff together, like watching a show or a movie together or cooking together is really great. You know, I think having, you know, when you do decide to go outside to get fresh air, whatever that looks like for you, doing that together, getting some fresh air together, if that's even sitting on your stoop or if that's like, you know, taking a walk to the grocery store if you have to go, you know, if that is just taking a jog around the block, you know, whatever you need to do. But I think, you know, if you find yourself at a place where you just can't take it, it's too much, like emotionally mm-hmm. and psychologically, like then you need to have some time to yourself. And I do think that, and that could look many different ways, but one of those I think is getting out and, yeah. and you know, maybe getting fresh air alone. Yeah. And another could be also talking to a licensed mental health provider. And yeah. there's a lot of access now through therapy sessions that you can do. There is obviously resources like Talkspace and things like that. But there's right. other therapists that you might not have ever had access to that you can now because there's leniency now with the rules so that you could work with somebody. So say if you have a mental health provider that's located in New York and you're in California, you could actually work with that provider in a telemedicine capacity. Right. right now, right in this moment. And so, and a lot of people are doing sliding scale with their therapy. So you can find somebody to work with in this time where you might not have been able to before. So it's a really great time to kind of like tap into the resources that are available to help you get through. And that could even be couples therapy, right? Because right. again, like if it's challenging mm-hmm. right now, which it is for so many people,
yes.
you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to make sure you get through on the other side. A lot of people planning weddings and weddings have to get canceled and
yeah.
all kinds of stuff because of, you know, the changes and stuff. And so, and also trying to like navigate through this could also show you really what somebody is really like. And
this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. This is the time people need to take notes. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll see who they really are, especially in time of crisis, you know, because in crisis, you want to see your partner at their best. Right.
Exactly.
And what happens many times for people is that in crisis, they end up seeing a side of their partner that they didn't want to see or that they didn't know existed. And so, right. And that can either make or break the relationship, right? Like if somebody really shows up and is bigger and better than ever before and really helps carry you through a moment, that might, you know, really change things for you. That might really turn the corner to where you're like, you know what? Like I could see myself being with this person for forever, or it might be that people leave their quarantine and go their separate ways. So I think it just depends on, you know,
who it is and how much you have invested and really what it is that you need mm-hmm. out of the relationship and if you're getting that, and knowing also that in this moment, if you weren't, if it wasn't good before, mm-hmm. it's this is not the time to try to be testing to see if you can fix it. I think that this is going to be amplified, right? Like, yeah. you know, the issues will be amplified. If this was a moment that you're being tested and it's your first sort of moment of adversity together, then I wouldn't use it as a way to basically point fault or find fault with your relationship, but to try to find strength in getting through and use moments of adversity and challenge to like really look at yourself and your partner in different ways. And that's why I said like a mental health provider could be so helpful, because mm-hmm. now you have a playing field where you guys can share things that you probably couldn't talk about together that right. you can share with a person who's able to kind of talk you through it and get to the other side and feel like you've had the support that you need. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that that's really, really helpful for most people right now, especially in light of, you know, this issue that's becoming more and more amplified each day. You know, like the anxiety makes people kind of go over the edge, and, you know, spending time together incessantly, you know, I think can take people over the edge. And so, and also just how people live, everybody's different. And so like little teeny things that would never bother you are going to bother you now because they're yeah. happening all the time.
Right. And that because you're in the house and you're actually seeing it. Right. So I know for me, like a person who's cooking, I'm cooking, I find myself three times a day, morning, lunch, and dinner. And then I'm finding dishes in the sink all the time. And that can really, for a mother, can really send you over the wall. So I made a rule with the kids, like when you're done, just please put in a dishwasher so we don't have to see it. And at least there could be some normalcy going on in the kitchen. Right. So with simple things like that, I think we can do to be understanding to our family members, to our mates. If you know that your wife does not like to see the bathroom a mess and you drop it, just pick it up and put it away. Whatever
please,
you can do,
exactly.
I feel, to make things feel the same as you are used to, although we know in our minds it's not, is thoughtful, is having empathy and compassion, because I'm telling you, if we don't get ourselves together in our homes, it's not going to be good, right? So I think everyone needs to be thoughtful of each other. Another thing I find myself and my mate we're doing right now is going over bills, right? Mm. Because income is not the same right now.
It's not the
and
same.
And we have to think about what is a necessity, what do we need and what we don't need. Right. We know the mortgage has to be paid. We know the insurance needs to be paid. This is a time I think couples and families should take an assessment of where they are with their debt and with their wealth. I think
that's really smart
time for people to take a look at their insurance, look at the premiums that they're paying. This is also a time to look at your investment accounts. I'm not saying to move money. I'm not saying to do anything. I'm just saying take a look at what you're invested in. Look at those stocks. Are they up? Are they down? This is also a time to buy. I think this is a time that people really need to take a look at their situation, because a lot of us were living from check to check. Mm-hmm. A lot of us is living beyond our means. And mm-hmm. this is a reset for our wealth. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think also this is, you know, if anybody's in like the small business space or entrepreneurial, you know, there's a lot of programs, federal and private, that can help you to navigate the finances. There's like a lot of emergency funds available. So if you find yourself in a situation where you've accrued a lot of debt or you're behind on bills or whatever it looks like, you can't make your payroll, whatever it is, that right. there are programs available. So just to be researching and on top of that. Also, there's a lot of free tools available to entrepreneurs right now that a lot of companies are putting forth, a lot of their technologies, so that people who have suffered financially can use these tools for free. And then there's also a lot of
you know, in addition, I think it's so important, like you said, to kind of figure out like where you sit with your finances.
Right.
But there's also a lot of forgiveness programs like with the banks. So not just loans specifically, but like if you overdraft, you know, there's forgiveness. You can just let your bank know like, hey, you know, I didn't have the money to transfer over, and they will reverse a lot of the fees. And so you do need to contact them, but they will reverse a lot of these charges that normally you might accrue, you know, in any situation where you found yourself with a lack of funds available. So just be in contact also with the any of the bills that, you know, of the companies, any of bill collectors or whatever, if it's student loans or if it's, you know, bills for any of your, you know, main things like water and heat and rent or whatever, right. Like make sure to reach out to these companies and let them know your situation, because they can either waive, you know, the date and like you buy yourself some more time. Right. They can extend your service and just give you extra time to get that, that money, especially people who are waiting on like stimulus checks from the government. You know, these are designed to help you to pay your bills and stuff. So even though the companies aren't freezing bill pay, you hopefully can have extra time extended to get the money that you need to pay some of those bills. And it is just important to like keep people up to speed on where you're at in terms of your finances. And a lot of the organizations will work with you, you know. I mean, nobody wants to keep anybody on the street. And so even right now, evictions have been frozen. So if anybody's like in a position where they are, you know, dealing with housing right. stuff, you know, you don't have the threat of eviction. No marshal can show up to your door and evict you. This is something that is, you know, designed to protect people in this time, to make sure people aren't on the street or having to figure out a place to be in the midst of a pandemic. And so there are some protections, you know, out there. So just to kind of learn what your rights are, but make sure to protect yourself and be communicative to everyone involved, you know, where there is a situation where you just can't afford or you don't have the money. Because people are making accommodations. Everyone understands that nobody's going to work. So right. If nobody's going to work, how are we paying these bills?
Right. I just want people to also remember, Latham, is that when looking at the stimulus package, it's very important to read the fine lines. Because mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is anyone that is making over $99,000 a year, you will not be receiving a check.
Oh yeah, y'all ain't getting no money.
You're not getting no money. So you need to look into other programs that are out there right now for COVID-19 where maybe they're where you can benefit. Because just because you're making $99,000 a year, I think the government needs to take into consideration you have to pay taxes on that. Mm-hmm. So this is a trying time for all of us. I really, really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk with me. What would you leave us with today as far as, you know, I'm in the space of mental health. What can you say to my listeners today to bring them to some type of stillness of not overwhelming yourself with too much information and too much anxiety?
You know, I always think that, like, you know, less is more. And I mean, like, you know, less TV, less internet, less social media, you know, and really tuning inward, you know, like just take this time to tune in to your own internal landscape and really like make sure that you're well. And what does that mean? I think self-care is really about looking on a moment-to-moment basis and assessing what your needs are and not just trying to bubble bath your problems away, but to really look at, you know, what do I need in this moment? In this moment, what would feel really good right now would be a conversation with my best girlfriend. Let me call her up. You know, right. What would be really good is for me to read a book. You know what? This article is making me feel anxious. I'm going to log off and I'm just going to go and, you know, take a walk, or, you know, I'm going to you know, watch. There's a really cute show called Too Cute, and it's like puppies and kittens. Just like find the things that just bring you joy and make you laugh. And, you know, understanding that in this time of crisis, it is important to reclaim our joy. It is important to have, you know, moments where you feel the most powerful connection that we have, you know, which is to love and to God, you know, like that's available to us at any time, and to not allow the anxiety that's the social anxiety and otherwise to sort of rob us of that, because, you know, it will be taken away from us if we decide to completely turn ourselves over to the power of media. Mm-hmm. And so that means we have to have the discipline to discern what makes most sense for us, right? And what our needs are, and really listen to them, because I think that the body is so clear when it speaks to us through our emotions, and anxiety is a powerful response to an aversion to something, right? Like that you don't feel good about something, that something is making you feel upset and making your brain race and your heart race. And that means like, I need to avoid that right now, right? Like for me to be well, I need to keep my anxiety levels low, right? So what are the things that make me feel joy and make me feel whole and make me feel sustained and make me feel grounded and make me feel at peace? Because that's what I need to pursue at all costs right now. And I need to pursue that in the context of the circumstances I'm in. So when we talk about it, we have to be reflective of the fact that we're in our homes. So, or wherever we are, right? If we're in a situation that we can't control, how in the context of where I am, can I practice self-care? Can I look after myself in a way that I'm intended to in this moment? So I think that's what we need to be doing, is having these check-ins and being honest with ourselves about what our needs are. I mean, I can be honest, like last week when all this stuff was happening, you know, with the hospitals, and I was overwhelmed by it. And so I remember I went to bed really early. I rested. I dreamt. A lot of ideas came. I woke up. I had action steps, you know. But I stayed off of line. I didn't post anything. I just stayed in the work. And sometimes it's really important to not necessarily like be a mouthpiece, but, you know, do the work on the low and let come to surface what needs to come to surface when it's time, and not feel like you have to be the first one to speak on this or the first one to do that or to post this or that. But, you know, like be connected with like what's going on for you. And what I noticed was that like me getting caught up in what was happening, and me, you know, allowing the moment to make me anxious was only going to lead to me approaching the rest of my life in a stressful way. And so I knew I had to like stay off and just have real human conversations, figure out what was happening at the source, and then, you know, apply myself when I, you know, in a really methodical and intentional way. And that's how I move, is like very intentionally, and not just like, hurry up, let's do this. And let's, you know, like, no, let's move slow. Yeah. Let's be mindful. And it doesn't matter who sees what or what. It's like, what matters is like that when I say it, I'm gonna be ready to say it. Or when I do something, I'm gonna be ready to do it. And so, and we have to move in a way where we're aligned, you know, and really making sure that we're not forcing ourselves or rushing ourselves into things, especially because there's emotional consequences for that, especially right now, you know, because everybody's on edge, you know. So I think, you know, having practices that help you to sink into a space where you feel seen and you feel loved is important. And even if that's you giving yourself that attention. And also I think the other thing would be like, just tune into stuff that makes you feel good, like this podcast and, you know, other types of, you know, outlets, whether it's podcasts or books or, you know, articles or social media accounts and stuff. Like, tune into the things that make you feel really good, and do an audit of the things that don't.
I just learned that they have a function on Instagram where you can actually remove people, like not block them, but like remove followers. Right. So, I mean, you might have to do that. You might have to do like a little audit and say like, do these people belong in my like online community? Cause that's really all I have right now. Right. Like figure out what makes most sense for you and really just stay attuned. It's going to evolve. Some things are going to be, you know, you're going to have the patience for some things one day, and then there's going to be a day, a week later, where that doesn't make sense for you anymore. Like, know that like you're allowed to change your mind and you're allowed to assess the moment and move accordingly, but definitely check in with your personal assessment. Don't make it be something that you're following what other people are doing. Do what you need for yourself.
So with that, I mean, you took us to church and I needed it and I needed to hear it. And sometimes we just need to hear it and be reinforced by people that really love us. And so you are one of those women for me. You have been from the day we met at the nail salon. I love the work that you're doing, Latham. I see what you're doing for so many women, not just mothers. I see you breathing life into the young girls coming up who's following in your footsteps. And I just want to thank you so much, so much for your work. And I want you to leave our listeners all your handlers on how they can find you and follow you.
Okay, so just on social, I'm at Glow Maven, GLOWMAV as in Victor, ENMAVEN. And that's on Instagram, that's on Twitter also, although I don't tweet super often. I am on Instagram. And then we have at Mama Glow on Instagram, MAMAGLOW. And then mamaglow.com is where we have a lot of great information. We have a lot of webinars about maternal health and this time, and it's just a great place to go for information. We're launching a lot of really great tools that'll be helpful for people and you know, pregnant people and practitioners. So just tune in and try to, you know, stay up to date with the information so that if you have folks that it affects, that you could share it with them. And if it affects you, that you're up to speed on the latest and most current information so that you and your family stay safe.
Well, thank you, Latham, for joining our Amorous Reflections. We're so excited to have you on this episode.
Thanks for having me, Andrea. Love you.
Love you and be well, doll.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.